Hey, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hope your Wednesday is off to a great start. I think I had a P1 open the door for me this morning. He was like,
oh.
Had in, because we share a building.
In the building, yeah.
And I showed up a little later than I wanted to, and so I'm kind of running to the door, and I see him get in, and then I realized he was holding the door for me.
He knew you were coming. Here comes the Sprague.
And I was like, hey, thanks a lot. And he goes, have a good show.
Hey.
And then he walked down, walked in the stairs. I was like, all right, thanks, Dan.
Hey, you're an early riser, man. If you're here when we get here, you're up early. So we love you for listening.
We love everybody for listening and hanging out. We have a stat or story to get to today and a lot to discuss here with the Trailblazers in hour number two. I was going to do a read here, but all my sheets are
You're fishing through all your reads.
Yeah, a little too many sheets.
We're having some read problems here this week,
well,
man.
Not me.
Yeah.
Just me.
Got to get the right paperwork in front of you. With an updated amount that is left, we now know it's fewer than five.
Well, we have, we'll let you know on that. We have multiple golf reads.
Yes.
For the golf tournament, but I got to throw away the ones without. You know, the older ones.
We keep adding new ones. There's a new sponsor involved. We got numbers that are there. Like, we got to, when we bring a new one in, you got to throw the old one out.
Well, the golf read we're talking about is June 23rd. Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. Now, we've told you the afternoon round is sold out. And we'd also like to let you know, officially, we only have four foursomes left for the morning round.
Sizzler.
Four.
Four. One, two, three, four. Count them up.
Also, quattro.
Look at us. They call us bilingual.
They do. We have a lot to offer at the golf tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be hanging out at the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole. So come hang out and say hi to us and then hit a beautiful tee shot. We saw a hole-in-one there once.
We did. We saw two in 1 year.
Well, I didn't see the second one.
Yeah, there was two. It was 2 years ago, I think. There was two in the same day, which there had never been one, I think, on that hole in the entirety of the golf tournament. And then we had two in one day.
You might be wondering, damn, I'm going to get so hungry, though, Sprague. What can I eat? Good question. I got a great answer for you. Matt's Barbecue.
Delicious.
That's all you need to know. Matt's Barbecue. They'll be on hand catering the event. Looking forward to that one.
Melts in your mouth.
Head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo. Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy, Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dope Bell Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer by 10 Barrel, and Window Nation.
It's one of those days for me that I always think, like, when we get there, like, how is it possible that the Fan Golf Classic is already here? Fourth of July is next week. Like, what? What is that? Football season's almost here.
Let's start just to pass along the local news. By the way, poll question is from the 6 a.m. Who got dunked on harder yesterday, Chris Dudley or the gas tax? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague there. Don't mean to get too political on people, but if you want to get political, you can vote on that one.
I feel like the gas tax was one that was pretty bipartisan of, that's,
swinging a foul.
Yeah, from the get, that was like that's not going to fly, dude.
I don't care what your affiliation is. Like, nah, man, I'm good. I don't need to pay more on that right now.
And
I'm going to pass on that.
I would say the other made me think that they were legitimately going to win their race, and they were a very distant third. So you can vote at Dirt and Sprague on that one. Tough, very tough day. There's been a lot of Tom Dundon and cheap. What does this mean? Conversations that have happened.
Yes.
Now, this is a biased opinion, but I'm going to give it for me. I have felt personally, having read, listened, and observed all things, I have felt that we've been pretty neutral fair. We have made fun of his cheapness.
Mm-hmm.
We've given the guy like 80 nicknames. We joke about him being cheap down the road. I also don't care about T-shirts. And, I don't know. I view it that way, but not everybody will, and that's fine.
There can be a balance here of everything that's going on. Of the hotel checkout, it's a freak out. Then you get the other side of it, and you're like, that's not that big of a deal. The T-shirts, we didn't really care.
Yes.
Like some of this, the two-way player, we didn't know, and then we traveled them for the next game. Like, not everything has been a DEFCON, whatever the highest number is, panic attack for us.
And I think there's been also listeners that are, worried or wondering, and I think there's the other side of that. Listeners are like, I don't care if two-way guys go. That literally doesn't impact the game or me.
No.
Now, you can argue, well, it impacts the other team and the other players and all that stuff. That's fine. But that's just my opinion, and not everybody's going to agree with that sentiment. Yesterday was, there's not even a debate. Yesterday's a terrible day.
It sucks, dude. It's horrible.
According to Hyken and the Oregonian, over 70 people were laid off And that number might be higher. It might be 80. I don't know if we have the official number that's been reported.
I don't think anybody will actually know. Well, at some point, maybe we'll find out. But yeah, it's just been speculated of where the number could be.
But sweeping layoffs were announced for the Portland Trailblazers. Dwayne Hankins, the acting president, said, quote, "Today, as part of our plans to position the organization for the future, made the difficult decision to restructure several areas of business. These changes impacted talented people who have helped shape the Trailblazers over many years. We are deeply grateful for their contributions, their leadership, and the care that they showed every day for our team, our fans, and the Portland community. Our focus now is supporting those affected through the transition and positioning the organization for long-term success." Now, the biggest name, or the name I would say most people knew, was Casey Holdall. What I would like to call friend of the program. We've had him
on for years and years. We used to have a weekly with him back when we were a night show, way back in the day when we were getting our start in the industry.
We did, and he has done an exceptional job covering the team from pre-Blazers to working with the Blazers. 18 years he was with that organization.
And then he covered him the years before that. I mean, you're going all the way back to the Brandon Roy era, basically, before of how long he's been around.
And that's the brutal part of all of this is, like,
sucks.
We know people impacted by this. Right. I had more than just Casey Holdall that I knew impacted by this. I had other people texting me how kind of sloppy it was. I had people that were telling me that there were Zooms that groups of people were on, and it was not made abundantly clear
whether somebody was let go or not.
Whether they were being laid off, and then it was basically like, oh, well, follow up with another email, and like the Zoom would end, and everybody on that Zoom would be like, are we still employees? Like, right. They literally didn't know. It wasn't just like, well, thank you for your time. Good luck. It was, hey, yeah, there's a lot going on. Have a great day, and we'll get back to you. And it was like confusion in groups on Zoom. So
it's about the worst way you could possibly handle a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do it any worse than that. Like, we know
about this in our business. There's not an easier way to do that. We see it all. We'll have people we know. And we'll come in, and it'll be like 3 days, and I'm like, "Where's so and so?" And they're like, "He got laid off."
Yeah,
and he'd be like, "Oh, what?
Huh?
Oh, okay. Didn't know about that."
Yeah, you can't leave any ambiguity there when you're doing something like that. Like, let's be clear. Let's communicate properly. Let's give the heads up that is necessary. And the way it was handled was incredibly sloppy.
Yeah. So I mean, and look, this is interesting. So I was reading the Oregonian piece on this from Freeman, and I think it's also Orem. I think they're both on the byline there.
They tag teamed it.
So the layoffs are the most substantial for the Blazers since June 2020 during COVID, when they eliminated roughly 40 jobs.
Yeah, they cut some
salary reductions.
The team wasn't playing. The league revenues were obviously disappearing, and they fired a bunch of people in the middle of COVID.
One high-ranking team official, so bear that in mind, okay, told the Oregonian that the Blazers were one of the largest organizations in the entire league and an unsustainable reality considering they fetched the league's lowest sponsorship revenue and ranked near the bottom in ticket revenue.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of this because of the people laid off, roughly the vast majority of them were on the business side,
PR side, obviously some in the broadcasting side that we know of, but primarily in the PR and the business side.
So before Tuesday's Blazers had roughly 215 employees on the business side and 390 employees in total. The majority of the cuts, as we mentioned, were on business. They note this: staff reductions following a sale are not uncommon, though. The scale of Blazers layoff felt particularly severe last year after Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry closed on the sale of the Timberwolves. That franchise laid off roughly 40. I was told off the record that number is incorrect, that it was way more than 40 people.
There's a lot of speculation. It was closer to 100 in Minnesota last year.
So the 40 employees is what we know publicly. And teams are going to tweak numbers. Again, with the 70 here, it was probably higher than 70, I would guess.
Very well could have been.
So, this also comes in the midst of what's been the conversation around Tom Dundon.
It's cheap.
Cheap. Cost-cutting.
Tommy Two Nickels.
And so you had this happen yesterday. Just a tough day for a lot of people here in Portland.
Dude, it sucks, man. It was a horrible day because, to your point, when you live in this city and work in this city long enough, you build relationships, you get to know people, and you never want to see anybody lose their job. Casey has always been kind to us. He's come on the show every time, essentially, that we've asked him to over the years. He's always been funny and insightful and given us a behind-the-scenes perspective of traveling with the team from a unique angle. And so to see him lose his job, a guy who in terms of just like reporters, like there's been a lot of people who have come and gone, and I know he's done it in a little bit of a different capacity working for the team, but like Jason Quick was that, and then Jason Quick kind of left for a little bit and didn't cover the team. Joe Freeman, handsome Joe Freeman, was that way. He kind of stopped covering the team for a couple years and pivoted, and so one of the few mainstays that we have had in our entire time working in radio of somebody covering the Blazers is Casey Holdall, and he's a good friend of the show, and it was devastating to see him lose his job, and I don't know a lot of the other people individually, or personally, I should say, that lost their jobs, but it sucks, and I don't know, maybe it's just part of it being, you know, numb to it because we've gone through this too many times to count over the last 12 years of, hey, there was a merger and an acquisition. Hey, we have new bosses, and we know cuts are coming. And you know there's going to be an email at some point, and you're walking around the office doing the show every day just hoping that your name's not going to be on a list or that you're not getting a phone call from somebody in an HR department because, like, Dusty called me for something yesterday, and I'm like, dude, stop. Stop calling me in the middle of the day, for the love of God.
The Dusty 1:30, 2 p.m. calls are like, what's this about?
Because my mind goes there. We work in radio. My mind goes there every time. And so I don't want to sound numb to it, but it's also a reality in a world that we've lived in for a long time. And while it is simultaneously true that it's devastating and you never want to see people lose their jobs, it's also, you point out the numbers of employees that they had, the payroll that the organization had. Like, Dundon pointed this out in the interview he did with Game Over with Kellerman and Rich Paul, where he talked about they spent $100 million more dollars per year, not counting player salaries. Like, we all know player salaries are significantly greater in the NBA than they are in the NHL. That's not counting player salaries. That's just an overall payroll for everybody else and everything else going on inside your organization. And so that's the other part of it from my reaction yesterday of, like, with the Dundon stuff, this blows. But we all kind of knew that this was going to happen. Like, this was – when he got hired, we knew he was going to slash around the edges in the business side and the PR side and the – in all of those departments, we knew it was going to get cut and the spending and the payroll was going to go down significantly. And it doesn't change the fact that it's devastating, but I also was not surprised by this yesterday because, to your point on Minnesota that people brought up, this happens everywhere you go in sports. When somebody buys a team,
just about, they're getting,
especially
their own
in this area,
people.
Like, dude, we were owned by a billionaire and then a billionaire's sister who money was no object to them, and so you could say,
but
that
wasn't
was
her money.
It wasn't
she
her
would
money.
Just write off. Oh,
what
yeah,
do you need?
Go ahead.
Sure, go ahead. I'll sign
go.
Off on it. And we can debate whether or not that's the kind of ownership you want, or you want this kind of ownership. There's pluses and minuses to each side. I will still go back to and reside in the fact of that rich ownership that wrote the blank check got me nothing as a fan. We've done and accomplished nothing in my head. We haven't won a conference finals game since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so I just, there's a balancing of both opinions that happens throughout the course of this. I feel devastated and terrible for the people who have been fired. I thought Rob brought up a great point. I was listening to them yesterday. Of all the people that our company has let go and the people that we loved working with that moved on, almost all of them have landed on their feet, found better gigs, moved on to a different thing. Might take you a while, might get uncomfortable for a little bit. Doesn't have to be the end of the world for them. Still does not change the fact that you don't want to see 70 people laid off.
Yeah, certainly, like, people can move on and find better jobs or better situations that more suit them that they don't even, I guess, realize in the moment. I think the thing on this is, like, because I live in a world of understanding the both sides thing. Now, look, the vast majority would probably tell you that all day you want the uber rich person, right? I find it interesting that there's a narrative on that. Like, I'm not disagreeing with the idea. Like, would I want Steve Ballmer to come in here, own the team, and just completely build a new arena in general? And,
yeah,
like,
you know, it would not be an issue needing taxpayer funding for a stadium.
Yes.
Because he paid for it all by himself.
Sign me up all day for that, sir. It's one of the best atmospheres created is what they've created down in L.A. at the, what is it, the Intuit Dome,
I believe. Hasn't translated to wins, but that's a pretty cool arena.
No, but, like, they've, you know, they've stayed in the conversation. Yeah. Now, right now, they're in a conversation for the wrong reasons and trying to, you know, sneakily pay guys. But there was not, it's hard for me to, like, hear about how they should have an owner that has the deepest pockets when I'm also hearing people criticize owners with the deepest pockets. Has Ishbia spared no expense in Phoenix?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
I think he has dipped well into his pocket to try to make a winner. How did that go after 1 year?
Not very good.
And then everybody said, well, I don't want Ishbia.
He's a terrible owner.
So you want the richest owners, but you just don't want the specific type of rich owner.
Right.
I just, like, I guess what I would say in the world of ownership, in sports now, where, dude, I think we're only a handful of years away from having complete Saudi-owned sports franchises, because I don't know who else is going to buy these things.
At some point, they're going to get too expensive.
I guess what was the expectation for anybody? If you didn't even know who Tom Dundon was, I didn't know who Tom Dundon was prior to buying the Blazers and his name popping up.
No.
You could have given me a whole year to guess who owns the Hurricanes without looking. I would have never guessed the name Tom Dundon.
I remember the controversy over him firing John Forslund outside of that. Didn't pay a lot of attention to his ownership because it's a team in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Exactly. And I didn't know about that controversy. But like, I don't know in what scenario were you going to get an owner that came in and was going to do what the Paul Allen and Allen Estate had been doing of like, and look, it's great. It's a fantastic thing to have a guy so uber rich who doesn't penny pinch and care that he just writes the check to everybody and doesn't say, oh, you guys are the lowest ticket revenue or business sponsorships. No worries. Let's just have the largest staff in the league. That is great. I'm pro that. But if you're also trying to be honest to talk about this, in what world was somebody going to come in and do that?
Right. It just didn't exist.
In what scenario?
Right. Outside of Ballmer, just did not exist.
So, like, yeah. And that guy already owns a team. I don't. Right.
Or Bezos buying your team. But what's he doing with every property that he owns right now?
I hate this part of it. This is the part that truly sucks.
Yes, it's devastating.
Because as you mentioned, in our business, like, I have days, and people think this is a ridiculous thing to say, and that's a great thing to hear. I have days where I don't know my key fob's going to work. I work in radio. I understand it. Like, I get it, what we signed up for. There wasn't a scenario with Dundon in this where I didn't think that was going to happen in some capacity. Now, maybe it was bigger than people thought.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't as big as people thought. I don't think they're done.
No.
If you want to know the truth.
No, there's going to be
which
more.
Is scary, and I don't like that.
We don't know what the broadcast situation is going to look like next year. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
There was no scenario, Dirt, where somebody was buying the team and to me was just going to keep doing what Paul Allen had established here. That was not going to exist for me. And I'm not saying that that's right.
Right.
I'm just trying to call this how I see it, man. I'm trying to call balls and strikes here.
Yeah.
You cannot accuse people of just going off of what they read and hear. That's all I can get. And some people will tell me stuff and I'll be wondering, like, why don't you say this publicly?
Sure.
Why don't you report that publicly?
Right.
But you don't, because relationships and for whatever the reasons are. So all I can do is call balls and strikes. And when he's cheap and it impacts the team, I'm going to call that strike.
Yep.
But shirts, hotel checkouts, when you have big ballroom dinners and lunches where you get to actually hang with the boss.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying he's perfect and great.
Nobody
I also,
is.
I'm not going to go over my out of my mind over that information and conclude something that's literally like 5 weeks old. I just don't think that's the way to do this. So
no.
When it impacts the team and as it develops.
Without a doubt.
I did an entire segment when you were out about how I don't want him to touch the radio of this.
Yeah.
The radio in this city specifically, the entire brand has been molded by the radio.
Rip City.
And there's a real possibility he just does the simulcast thing. And I'm going to hate that.
Yep.
And I'm going to call it out. And I did a whole segment on it. So, like, yesterday's a tough day. I also just didn't think it was ever realistic to think somebody was coming in here and was going to say, oh, Paul and the Allen Estate just wrote the blank check and never cared. I didn't think that was ever going to be a thing, unfortunately.
No. And the tough reality, too, that we have to be honest about is that at the end of the day, ultimately, I am a fan of the team and I want the team to win. And so while a lot of the business stuff matters and you don't want to see people lose their jobs, like, we went through this with Mike and Mike got let go. Mike and Mike were legacies in this market. They had been around forever. They were beloved. We had Mike and Mike t-shirts. Mike and Mike were known everywhere they went in this market. They were major celebrities.
Yeah.
They'd been calling games forever. And when they were fired under the previous ownership group, there was immediate backlash. And like, how could you do this? How could you spit on us like this? We love Mike and Mike. What did we all move on from? Like, that's the sad reality.
Well,
like,
some people didn't, though, and that's the funny thing.
I mean,
is
that's
like,
fine,
some people didn't. They
the vast
it.
Majority of people did, and I'm sure there's some out there that are holdouts who still want Mike Rice yelling at officials, and I get it, drinking a cocktail in the third quarter. Like, next year, if you make a move in the offseason, you add a piece, Damian Lillard comes back and plays at a decent level, you get a sixth seed in the Western Conference, and you're in the playoffs next year. Is anybody next April going to be saying, yeah, but why did we fire 70 business staffers? Like, at the end of the day, winning is ultimately what matters the most to me. And that's the part of it that I am having a hard time balancing right now, because you could tell me writing a blank check and having that many employees is great, and I want everybody to keep their jobs. I don't want them to lose it. It also didn't get me anything as a fan. It didn't get me any success
that's
on the
floor.
That's
the separation there of, like...
there's a breaking point here of, like, yeah, it would have been... If we were the Boston Celtics, who had just won an NBA championship, and then they sold immediately afterwards, and a new owner comes in and is like, dude, strip it to parts. We don't want to pay anybody. We're not running this the way that we've been running this, I would be livid, because we've been in the conference finals or NBA finals seemingly every year. We don't have that track record. We haven't won a game in the conference finals since 2000. It's been a minute for us, and so that's the balancing act that I'm trying to have, and I will remain critical whenever it does impact the product on the floor and the desire of players of wanting to be here and all of that. That is fair game for me, but a lot of the other stuff is behind the scenes, and it just doesn't impact the results on and off the floor.
Tough day in Rip City yesterday, and thinking about a lot of people impacted by that. From that to what is the reputation of our Blazers, we'll get to that as we roll on hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, rolling on. Status Story Wednesday, get to that in the final hour of the radio program. A lot to discuss. Poll questions up. We need to figure out our restaurant neighborhood poll question of the day.
Yeah, we don't want that to be governor and gas taxes. We'll find something else for that.
But the poll question we put up from the first hour of conversation, who got dunked on harder yesterday, Chris Dudley or the gas tax? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. Getting a little political today, post the election.
Let's get spicy, dude. It's election day, man.
Having two election days is odd.
You got to have your primary day.
I know, I get it.
You got to have your big primary
day. It's
always
a little odd.
Yeah, I'm with you.
A lot to get to as we roll on the second hour. The NBA anonymous player polls come out on the NBA standing of franchises.
How are they feeling about old Portland, Oregon, USA?
Well, let's start with this. This is from The Athletic.
Can I also just bring up one last quick point just for anybody who missed it yesterday? So this news is obviously going on. I was listening to Primetime a little bit yesterday, and I thought it was interesting to get Sook's thoughts on this as the only – he's the only former – pro on the staff, right on the air.
Well, Meringue or Fisher, just depending on what you're talking about being a pro at. Weightlifting or route running, you name it, they're the best.
Joe Fisher dropping "I'm the greatest route runner you've ever seen" yesterday off the air is one of, like, the Meringue Fisher.
No. Be fair here.
Yeah.
So Joe Fish and Danny Meringue are involved in a beef internally.
We have an athletic beef between the two of them.
We think we're setting up a golf round.
I'm going to manhandle this, because this is one of those things we usually say, like, I'm going to find them and talk to them today about Saturdays on their schedule. Give me a day that works, because I can't, you know, middle of the day won't work for Meringue.
Sure.
So we can do maybe a twilight round, but like a Saturday where they got nothing going on, and I will be there, and anybody else who wants to come follow along can.
Well, I want to film it, and I also want to be there to do commentating from a golf perspective.
Yeah.
So they want to settle some athletic beef. Yesterday, Joe Fisher, who's one of our sales execs slash the host of the Saturday show with Rashad, he just unsolicited dropped a, because I told him Danny wants to beat him in golf, and he kind of went, fine, great, but then I get to piece him up on the football field. And I said, what?
What'd you just say?
And he dropped legitimately, quote, I'm the best route runner I've ever met. It's the catching part that I struggle with.
Which, who wins in the athletic comp? If you piece him up off the line of scrimmage, but then don't complete the 15-yard dig route,
if you piece him
you
up...
You don't win the athletic comp. You have to complete the pass.
I love the term piece him up.
Yeah, I got to piece him up.
Got to piece him up. If you piece him up and you dust Danny into the background and you run like a fly route and you drop it, if I'm Danny... I'm doing the buckle down.
Oh, yes.
I'm doing the Jabbar Muhammad
box.
Two thumbs down. Like, I'm acting like I broke that pass up.
I don't care. You didn't make the play. Technically, I win. You have to complete the pass in order to win at the athletic feed. So that's a good point. Other than Joe Fisher and Danny Meringue, Sook is the only other former professional athlete on the staff here. And he was asked, Steven asked him yesterday on the show about, like, hey, you played in the NFL. Does this impact in any way, shape, or form? It's going to lead to the results you're going to give. Like, does this impact player decisions? Does this impact the players and their belief in organizations and anything that goes into that? And he just flat out was like, no, that's ludicrous to argue that it does. The players will say that sucks. They probably had a relationship with a lot of these people who were fired. Casey in particular, who covered the team for a long time.
Yeah.
But the idea as if this will dictate who does or does not re-sign or sign in Portland is just not something that I believe is a reality.
Yeah, the whole thing is just tough, man. I mean, like, go back to when Drew Holiday got traded here. Remember the random report? Was it Mark Spears? I think it was Mark Spears. And he was like, Drew Holiday didn't want to go to Portland.
He does not want to be here.
Two days later, in a sprinter van, who was here?
He was here. And who played the entire year here?
I had somebody tell me recently, Drew's not happy about this new ownership situation. I go, then ask for a trade.
Yeah.
Like,
get out.
I just like athletes and what they tell you, and then also how they like react and choose to do things are two different things.
Yes, they are.
And I believe on that point, I think Sukanik made the note that in his career, he played with two organizations, the Denver Broncos and the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Broncos, first class, outstanding organization, top of the notch, top of the line, everything. The Buccaneers literally had weeks where they couldn't pay players and had to delay.
Right.
One of those teams, while Suk was in the NFL, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was not the Denver Broncos. So, like, I'm not saying being cheap is the right way, but we also have an example. How are the Clippers feeling today?
Right.
There's a huge investigation looming over their future. How are the New York Mets doing? Anybody check the standings, the NL East?
They're not doing very good,
buddy. Highest payroll in baseball.
Right.
And they're dead last in our division.
James Dolan was the worst owner in the NBA forever. So, now the Knicks are three wins away from an NBA finals and in the conference finals for a second straight year.
I know. That's out. Keep it up for the Bears, man. No, I'm just giving you reality, man. The facts are rich guys are great to have, and they can win. You also have examples in sports all over.
We're a prime one of that, man. We had one of the richest people in the world own our team forever, and it did not result in a lot of high-level success.
The Tampa Bay Rays are currently in first place in the AL East.
Yeah.
Are they not?
They are. Not a big payroll there in Tampa.
It's terrible.
Not a big payroll.
Especially when you comp it to Boston and New York. Okay, anyways, I digress.
I digress. What does it say about Portland?
Let's start with this one from Portland. Which arena has the most passionate fans? Did the Moda Center pop up in the voted on arena?
Most passionate fans, I would say we would show up. God, coming off of this year, I felt like we had some decent crowds. Right? Tanking years probably lost it a bit. I would say we were back end of the top 10.
We were tied for sixth.
Oh, okay. Even higher than I gave us.
We were tied. Well, there's a lot of teams tied.
Yeah, probably
we were tied with
one
the
vote.
Mavericks, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Jazz. And then we were just below the Kings, Sixers, Pacers, Warriors, Cavs, Bulls, behind the Spurs. The Spurs one is egregious. That is a great atmosphere. They've made it like European soccer mixed with electric basketball fan.
You know how it's good to have a great atmosphere? Victor Wembanyama.
Well, speaking of what's great to have a good atmosphere.
Were they there when they were winning 20 games?
I don't think
chanting ole, ole, ole all night?
Were they having fiesta night?
I don't think there was a fiesta night when they won 26 games.
The Thunder above the Spurs and then the Knicks. And then number one is Boston, who also finished first with most obnoxious fan base in arena. The Blazers did not show up on that.
They were nice, dude. We're cordial. We're not heckling you when you're in Portland.
What's the first team on your no trade list?
Ooh, I'm going to go. So I have not seen these results.
This is the category.
Like, get me out of here. Don't you dare do that to me.
Yes. Now, I want you to play a game, okay?
Okay, I'll play a game with you.
Say to my saw voice,
I want you to play a game. Is there a key located behind my kidney? I just need to dig it out from inside my body?
I want you to give me your top five you don't want to play there based on what you think and know about NBA orgs not being a player, but just who you would vote for in the top five of I don't want to be traded there.
Okay, I got two.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to go that team in the East.
I love this game.
Okay, I got four. I need one more. What's a good fourth one? Who else would I not want to play for? How about... All right, here are my top five.
I have one that's surprising.
Okay, these are my top five. Do not trade me there. I'm a max player, okay? I'm a second-team All-NBA point guard.
You
have you seen me out there? Don't you dare trade me to these markets.
Okay.
Memphis, number one.
Okay, I don't have Memphis in my top five.
New Orleans, number two.
I have New Orleans.
Washington, number three.
I have Washington.
Sacramento, number four.
I have Sacramento.
And Atlanta, number five.
Atlanta?
Atlanta. They don't give a rip about the Hawks in Atlanta. I would love to live in Atlanta, but I want to play as a second-team All-NBA guy. I want to play in front of a passionate fan base and city that's not going to cower to Magic City Wings. Honorable mention to Utah and Orlando.
Oh, Orlando's a sneaky good one.
Utah and Orlando. You know what? What the hell? I'm going to throw Houston in there for...
I've heard Houston sucks.
Dude,
but
I want nothing to do with living in Houston. I'm out on Houston, so those are my honorable mentions.
My top five in no order. Sacramento. The Pelicans.
Yeah.
Something about living in New Orleans doesn't seem
I've been to New Orleans. New Orleans is an awesome city.
But isn't it Vegas South? It's a two-night town. Get out of there.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's what you could do it in New Orleans. Like, I think you could live a happy life. You could stay away from Bourbon Street.
Okay.
And there's nice pockets of it. Again, it goes back to, like, they don't care. They've never cared.
See, part of this isn't about, it's just cities I just don't think I'd want to live in.
Sure, that's a combo for me. Like, Sacramento, no thank you, I'm good.
I've been to Sacramento. No, I'm good. Sacramento, New Orleans, Wizards. Now, that's a combo of D.C. slash the organization.
Yeah, D.C.'s an awesome city. I got no beef with D.C. It's mainly the organization sucks, although the number one pick might change things this year.
I think you've convinced me to put Orlando over Utah.
Yeah.
I don't want
to. Like, if you're going to live in Florida, you'd rather be in Miami.
Miami's on my top five.
That you don't want to go to?
Nah.
Yeah, because it's going to be underwater in 10 years?
I just have no interest. It seems awful.
Your oceanfront property will disappear.
It just seems like an awful place to live. I don't do cocaine.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want
be
nothing to do with
cooler if
Miami.
You did.
Yeah, well, I don't want anything to do with Miami. I'll tell you, Atlanta would be in my top five. Park Rose Sprague would enjoy Atlanta. For reasons I don't need to get into.
Hey, Sprague, welcome back to Magic City. Get some of that lemon pepper. You got it, man.
Dude, I would have a wave cap and grills in.
You Paul Wall?
Yeah.
You coming out in Paul Wall attire?
I'll be Paul Wall if I played in Atlanta.
Like a disco ball?
Here are the player polls of the teams they don't want to be traded to. Are you ready?
Yeah, did we show up in the top five?
We did not. Shocking.
What?
So here it is. Number one.
Numero uno.
Vast majority. Number one.
New Orleans?
Maybe LeBron's not wrong. Memphis Grizzlies,
yeah.
Come on down.
It's one of the reasons I put them on there. If LeBron's saying, of all the cities, I don't want to go there, I tend to think that that's an opinion of players.
Number two on this poll is the Washington Wizards.
Yep.
Number three, the Sacramento Kings.
Sounds about right.
Number four is the New Orleans Pelicans.
Nailed it, almost.
They should be higher. They should not be the fourth. Like, that's egregious. That organization's terrible. The Brooklyn Nets are below them.
God, I kind of forgot about Brooklyn.
I'd love to live in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that
team sucks, but I could live there.
That's the catch-22 for me of D.C. as well. D.C. is an awesome town.
Yeah, the organization plays a huge...
A lot.
And I know the Nets are awful, so it's kind of going against what I'm saying. But
sure.
After the Nets, it's the Jazz.
Mm.
Then the Hornets.
Charlotte, really?
Then our Blazers.
Okay, so we're what, eighth on that list?
Technically tied with the Hornets, but we're right below all those other teams, and we're barely above the New York Knicks.
We're not as... Oh.
Barely. Mm. Like 4.2% say no to Portland, 3.3% say no to New York.
I think we hang the banner. We're not Sacramento.
We're not Memphis.
We're not Memphis.
We're not New Orleans.
We're not New Orleans. Hang the banner, baby.
And we're not Utah.
No.
There's... What, five teams here in the West?
So we got that going for us.
I just, something to note,
nice.
We're not on the top list of.
Yeah, I don't know how much I don't know how many players vote on that, not, you know, what the actual reality
120
is.
120 votes.
Okay, 120 votes.
120
that's a
players.
Decent size. That's a decent amount of players across the league. It's just nice to not show up in the top three.
I agree
that's
with that.
That's the note about Portland is nobody wants to come here. Usually when guys get traded here, they don't want to be here, and then they end up liking it. That's the way our model normally works. Mm. So nice that we're not in the top five.
I got one more thing I want to update you on. We got a lot to get to in the third and the fourth hour on Status Story Edition, but the latest odds on this... Tell you what it is next on 105.1 The Fan. We have a lot more to get into. It's been pretty Blazer heavy in this hour. But given what happened yesterday and then paired with the player poll, and then we got coaching stuff to get to, that's how the show breaks. Talked a lot of Cavs-Knicks, the Cavs choking that game away yesterday, and learning a second language. Also, who got dunked on harder, the gas tax or Chris Dudley yesterday?
We get game two of the conference finals tonight. It's a nice little palate cleanser.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for it, too. I'm excited to see what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Not.
Tell me who's going to win the game, Sprague.
Who's going to win it? Huh?
Tell me.
You'd be wrong.
How many points will Wemby have? If you don't hit it, I'm firing you.
I didn't even get to the NAACP is asking black athletes to not go to certain colleges because of the...
Oh, they're jumping into that fight, huh?
Oh. Yeah.
Interesting. I did not see that headline.
Will
yesterday.
It have an impact, or will the NIL gods win out?
I think the NIL gods will probably win out.
Tell them Louisiana's still going to get the top players.
I'm telling you, LSU's got some deep pockets down there, man.
Do.
Man, that's impactful for an 18-year-old's life.
We have the Jason Kidd news yesterday.
Dude, that came out of left field. Was that expected in NBA circles?
I don't know about left field.
Okay. It was for me because I'm not in that bubble. I'm not sniffing those farts. I'm like, wait, what?
But when they fired Nico and then hired Masai Ujiri, if I told you Jason Kidd wasn't going to be the coach, would you have been like, whoa, I can't believe that? Or would you have been like, oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, you know how I feel about NBA coaches. They're kind of a dime a dozen. I'm not trying to diminish any responsibility that they have, but ultimately the talent on the floor is what's most impactful. I guess not shocked by it. I just didn't. He had just signed an extension, didn't he?
Yeah, he's going to be. He's going to get paid $40 million to not coach anymore.
It's a nice little gig if you can get it, man.
Tiago Splitter, by the way, is 8-1 to be the next head coach of the Mavs.
Tiago Splitter,
what
huh?
are we going to think if Splitter goes to the Mavs and they start dominating because Cooper Flagg is awesome? Are we going to be like, oh, we had this?
No, we'd say, man, it would have been nice to tank harder for Cooper Flagg instead of taking Young Hunson.
I went and looked at the game's win-loss record the year Wimby was in the draft. Would you care to guess how many wins we had that year?
Too many. And I screamed about it day in and day out.
Yeah, you did.
Every day.
You did, yeah.
Every day.
We had 11 more wins than the Spurs.
11 more. What did we win, 35 that year?
33.
Yeah, we tanked the year before that.
For Shaedon Sharpe.
Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah. Yeah. They had 22.
They did, yeah.
And they've got an alien, and they're in game 2 of the Western Conference Finals.
They are.
A series in which they're leading.
They're probably going to dominate the Western Conference for 10 years to come.
The Mavericks are interesting in this sense. I'm not telling you this is in any way reporting. Jason Kidd just coached in what city for a handful of years?
Brooklyn? Dallas?
Dallas?
Yeah, he was in Brooklyn though before then.
He was.
I didn't know if you were giving me a quiz.
No,
I will always defend him
for... It's an open book test.
It's an open book. I can look at my notes.
America's been failing those a lot, but I'm trying to give one to you.
Yeah, I was talking about my neighbors the other day. They don't do grades in middle school anymore.
What?
At her middle school, they don't do... It's like a...
Yeah, it's a Portland thing. My kid gets A's, B's, C's, D's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of an A...
My kid gets all A's.
Humble brag.
I never did, thank God.
I mean, it's essentially the same thing as an A, B, C, D, but it's like a, you know...
Exceptional.
Exceptional pass or...
Progressing.
Good pass or you barely passed.
They do that in elementary school.
Pass.
They do like letters and your P's, the
she
M
dropped
pluses,
I got this and this in a class, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Oh, okay, it's great.
Kid was coaching in Dallas.
Yes, he was.
He was based in Dallas.
Old Tommy D. Tommy Two Nichols.
Just wondering.
El Cheapo himself.
I'm just wondering things here. That's all I'm saying.
Don't need to pay him a lot of money because he's getting paid $40 million to not work right now.
I'm saying who's going to be cheaper because they're making $40 million.
His spill the drink move is one of the most genius things I've ever seen a coach do in the history of sports.
He's also one of the worst human beings.
He's not a good person.
So I saw this.
Remember the last time we were looking for a coach, he was the prime candidate. He was the guy we were going to go get because of his Oakland roots and his relationship with Damian Lillard. And why did that get spoiled? Because of his past off-the-court lifestyle. And then, ironically, we hired a head coach who had to have the general manager drink a water bottle and shut down PR questions.
Henry Abbott of True Hoop tweeted yesterday, I covered Jason Kidd when he played for the Nets. I knew one of his childhood friends. I've been to his house, met his kids, his then-wife, and Pilates instructor. And I have insight from many people who worked with him in his coaching years. This is a great firing.
He's that bad of a guy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty terrible.
Mm.
The Trailblazers' next head coach odds board looks as follows. Jared Dudley is the favorite at 2-1.
Okay.
Steve Hetzel, 3-1.
Now, you got to remind me. I know the names. Where's Hetzel? What staff is he on?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn staff. Okay. Because there's a Houston guy, a Brooklyn guy, and a San Antonio guy. Now, the St. Jean dude, I can't remember where he's coming from.
Greg St. Jean is third at 4-1.
What team's he on?
It'd be great if he was from St. John's, because Greg St. Jean on St. John's would be spectacular.
Let's see. The St. Jean's man himself is a assistant for the Lakers.
Oh, Laker guy. Okay.
Laker guy.
Terry Stotts is 6-1.
The Tear Bear.
Micah Norry, 8-1. Sam Cassell, 8-1.
Why is Cassell not getting more look?
I don't know. He's been an assistant for a
long time.
He's kind of becoming Brian Shaw.
Mm.
And I don't know if he's going to be good or not, but I'm just saying that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah.
Brandon Roy, 10-1.
That'd be cool.
Chris Quinn, Miami guy, 12-1.
Yep.
Darvin Ham, 14-1.
No, thanks.
Mark Bryant, 16-1. James Borrego, 18-1. Nate Bjorkgren, former assistant, 18-1. Sean Sweeney, the Wimby.
Seems like he's
whisperer,
a favorite in some other markets right now.
20-1. And then, dear God, Terry Porter's on this list.
What?
Don't.
What?
I'll just tell you that much.
I mean, I love Terry Porter.
Be an ambassador.
You be the Rip City ambassador all you want.
The Portland pilot run was pretty off.
The coaching run in general has not gone very good there.
Pretty bad stories about those pilot runs.
Now, is it all his fault? No, but now I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah, so those are your odds-on favorites to be the next head coach of your beloved Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was a reporting. I think it was Stein had it the other day that now, you know, it seemed like Tiago had been ruled out, and now there's a you can't rule out Tiago, so I don't know what to believe there, dude.
This is my whole point.
Yes.
Okay, let me just say this.
You
I saw
ahead.
That report.
File away your point.
What is everybody to make if they hire Tiago? I said this at the beginning, and I'm going
to
say it again.
And
what
much
are
do
all
nothing?
These media members going
to
say if they hire Tiago?
The guy that they want to be hired?
Six different times. Not a chance. No way. It was a spit in his face. There's no instance in which he's the coach. And I just said, okay, all right,
yeah,
I will defer to you, but I don't know if I want to conclude that. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hire him. They might hire Dudley or Hetzel, but if they hire Tiago,
be pretty fine.
What are a lot of the media members going to say?
There's not a lot of response there.
That he came crawling back for $1 million a year, or they actually ponied up. And then what's the take?
Then what's the take?
That's been my whole point on the Dundon stuff. It's not that he's not cheap. It's just like,
let's see the answers before we react to everything.
That's all I'm saying.
I will acknowledge this, though, after the kid news yesterday. If I am a coach in any of these categories, I am not saying yes to a single job until I know the Dallas Mavericks job.
The Mavericks job is the best job.
Because they have Cooper Flagg.
I want Cooper Flagg.
And I want to coach Cooper Flagg over wanting to coach anybody else on any of these other teams, and they have the brightest future of any of them.
Mosley took New Orleans. Gig because I don't think anybody else wanted New Orleans.
No, and nobody else wanted Mosley.
All right, let's move on. A lot of Blazers in that
God,
hour.
God, stop yelling at me, man.
Blazers in that hour.
So angry.
Get to some football stuff and odds and ends in sports. Hour number three, and then Saturday story in hour number four, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.